And the Afterglow is made possible in part by the generosity of Superior Energy in Vernon, offering the superior service that you deserve since 1939, serving the residential and commercial propane needs of Connecticut and Southern Massachusetts for the past 80 years. Receive the one-on-one personalized attention from a local small business and still enjoy their 24/7 support and state-of-the-art scheduling technology to simplify your busy life. Just sit back and leave your propane needs to the experts at Superior Energy. Call 800-242-0422 or visit propaneCT.com.
Well, you're in the Afterglow. Welcome, yes, to this quiet place, far removed from the anxiety of worry and the crunch of time. We are where day meets night and the twilight winds down the frantic pace of the day, to a time of relaxation and contemplation. This is our time together, changing gears, stepping outside of our self-concerns just for a moment to view the larger picture of life, not only what can be seen with the eyes, but viewed with heart, soul, and spirit. I'm Father John, with an important reminder for you. Don't forget to treasure the journey. Remember all you have learned. Knowledge is the fuel for achievement. Reflect on the lessons of life learned so far. They add up to a priceless wisdom. Appreciate the gift of choice available to you and choose wisely, and you will live well. Listen to your inner voice. It is the most important connection between your head and heart. Leave self-doubt behind. It serves only to make you hesitate. Never stop questioning, searching, and reaching. They are the only ways to stretch your mind and your soul. No matter what you do in this life, remember it is never about the treasures you acquire. It's about making certain it is life you treasure. So, come along with me now into the Afterglow. And that was Timeless by 2002. 2002 is a duo consisting of Randy and Pamela Kopus. Both musicians also provide all of the vocals on their albums, recording their voices many, many times and layering them to create a virtual choir with a celestial angelic quality. Original music you can only find here in the Afterglow on WJMJ. Now we wind our way through music, reflection, information, and a bit of history with a view to the larger picture of life, with information you won't hear anywhere else, information that will bring out the genius in you. Now, did you realize that today marks the anniversary of a landmark event in the days of the Old West? On this day, back in 1881, the infamous gunfight at the OK Corral erupted at approximately 3 in the afternoon in the town of Tombstone, Arizona. Now, this gunfight would go on to become the most notorious event of the Old West era. Marshal Virgil Earp, Deputy Marshals Wyatt and Morgan Earp, and gambler and dentist Doc Holliday confronted the Clanton and the McLaurie brothers over their thievery of livestock, and the confrontation resulted in a 30-second shootout that left Billy Clanton and Frank and Thomas McLaurie dead, while Virgil and Morgan Earp were wounded. The confrontation has become one of the most famous and romanticized stories of the West, and many sides of the story have been told to the point where no one is exactly sure how it unfolded anymore. The marshals claimed that the outlaws refused to drop their weapons and so were shot in self-defense. And some witnesses say that the outlaw brothers had their hands up. A murder trial that lasted for 30 days occurred after the event, and the judge dismissed the charges, stating that the Earp brothers and Holiday acted in self-defense. Once again, history teaches that violence doesn't solve anything, and that message has been echoed and re-echoed from the gunfight at the OK Corral 140 years ago, right down to our present time and place. Violence is never the answer. And also on this day in history, back 196 years ago, when people thought it was impossible, America took a major step forward toward progress and development. The young country of America celebrated the completion of the Erie Canal. It was the first major man-made waterway in the United States, and it connected the Great Lakes with New York City. The initial project started in 1917 and was an ambitious one, because there were no civil engineers in the United States, and there were vast amounts of wildlife to remove for the canal. But thanks to the hard work of immigrants, the canal was completed, opening up to shipping companies from the Midwest to the East Coast in 1825. The initial canal was replaced in 1918, but the original still had a major impact. It cut transport costs by about 95%, fostered a population surge in the western part of New York, opened regions further west to settlement, and helped New York City become the chief U.S. port. The Erie Canal, no longer used for much transportation, but recreational facilities still use it. You can find sections of the old canal. The Erie Canal being the first U.S. major man-made waterway, an important part of American history that helped a developing nation grow. Today, we remember the completion of the Erie Canal with Bruce Springsteen singing about the Erie Canal.
I got a mule and her name is Sal. 15 miles on the Erie Canal. She's a good old worker and a good old pal. 15 miles on the Erie Canal. We hauled some barges in our day, filled with lumber, coal, and hay. We know every inch of the way from Albany to Buffalo. Love Bridge, everybody down. Love Bridge, ever coming to a town. You always know your neighbor and back home to Buffalo. Love
Erie Canal, a song by Bruce Springsteen. On this anniversary of the opening of the Erie Canal back in 1825. Why? Well, because we're in the afterglow, and I'm Father John, and this is WJMJ, with a world view beyond time and space to see a life perspective bigger than any one of us and greater than all of us. We are the current inhabitants of this time and this space, but we're merely passing through, just like so many travelers before us. Now it's our turn to make the most and the best of life, and we're on our way toward greatness by sharing time in the afterglow. So, we journey now toward the intersection of where faith meets life. Have you ever noticed or thought about how little eye contact most of us have with strangers? Why? Are we afraid of them? What keeps us from opening our hearts to people we don't know? I don't really know the answers to these questions, but I do know that there is virtually always a parallel between our attitude toward strangers and our overall level of happiness. In other words, it's unusual to find a person who walks around with her head down, frowning, and looking away from people who is secretly a peaceful, joyful person. Now, I'm not suggesting it's better to be outgoing than introverted, that you need to expend tons of energy trying to brighten others' days, or that you should pretend to be friendly. I'm suggesting, however, that if you think of strangers as being a little more like you and treat them not only with kindness and respect, but with smiles and eye contact as well, you'll probably notice some nice things are happening. You'll begin to see that most people are just like you. Most of them have families, people they love, troubles, concerns, likes, dislikes, fears, and so forth. You'll also notice how nice and grateful people can be when you're the first one to reach out. When you see how similar we all are, you begin to see the innocence in all of us. In other words, even though we often mess up, most of us are doing the best that we know how with the circumstances that surround us. Along with seeing the innocence in people comes a profound feeling of inner happiness. And that's where faith meets life.
A mountain of stone, a door of steel, can't stand in my way. Go on, brutal machines, unbending laws, can slow me down. I'd go on, I've learned how to deal, and when to fight, I know what's real. Right.
And that was Celine Dion with I Don't Know. I'm Father John, and you're in the Afterglow. This is WJMJ, where we relax, help you de-stress, and even smile a bit more. You pride yourself on knowing what no one else knows. Master of trivia that you just can't live without, huh? Like the fact that today marks the birth anniversary of an American philanthropist whose hard work can be seen and appreciated by art fans today. She was born on October 26, 1874, to a wealthy family in Providence, Rhode Island. Her name, Abby Aldrich. Who? Well, let me tell you a bit about her. Abby Aldrich married famous businessman John Davidson Rockefeller, and together they had six children, five of them becoming the Rockefeller brothers. In 1925, she began collecting art from all around the world, but mostly contemporary modern art. She wanted to open up a museum, but her husband could not fund her after the stock market crash in 1929. However, this did not deter her, and with the help of other donors, she was able to open the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. She held several positions of power in the museum through the years, including treasurer and vice president. In her later years, she was asked to create a new museum, only this time a living history museum. She helped fund Williamsburg, Virginia, to restore the town to look like the colonial capital it once was. Years after her death in 1948, people can still visit the Museum of Modern Art and Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia, making Abby just another Rockefeller who has left a lasting impact. Abby Aldrich, born 147 years ago today. And today is also the birth anniversary of a gospel music legend, Mahalia Jackson, born on this day in 1911 in New Orleans, Louisiana. Known as the Queen of Gospel, she was the most influential gospel singer of her time, known for her singing voice and for her civil rights activism. And during her career, Mahalia Jackson released over 30 records, among them a dozen gold-selling records. She sang at the inauguration of John F. Kennedy and at the 1963 March on Washington rally. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. described her voice as one heard once in a millennium. Here now is a song by the first gospel singer to perform at New York's Carnegie Hall, the woman that Harry Belafonte called the single most powerful black woman in the United States, the legendary Mahalia Jackson singing, "He's Right on Time."
You can't hurry, my God, no, 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 no. You just gotta wait. Trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God you just can't hurry. He'll be there, don't you worry. He may not come when we want him, but he's right on time. Oh, you can't hurry my God, no, 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 no. Just got to wait. You got to trust God, give him time. Oh, no matter how long it takes, he's God, you just can't hurry. Oh, he be there, child, don't you worry. He may not come when we want him, but he's right on time. Brother Joe was sick so long, till the flesh fell from his bone. His wife and his cattle and children, oh, everything he had was gone. Just lay your foot in the affliction of Babylon. Come on and see about me. He may not come when we want him, but he's right on time. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the man that John called Jesus. He's God all alone. He's mighty, he's high and he's strong. Say, I'm God all by myself, I don't need nobody else. Oh, he may not come when we want him, but he's right on time. Oh, some says he's coming in the morning. He's gonna make the journey by train. Some says be riding in a chariot, shaped like an angel wing. I don't know how when God's coming, oh, but don't let him catch you when your work undone. He may not come when we want him, but he's right on time. Well, 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 you can't hurry my God, no, 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 no. You just got to wait. You got to trust God and give him time. No matter how long it is, he's a God, you just can't hurry. He'll be there, child, don't you worry. Oh, he may not come when we want him, but he's right on time.
Mahalia Jackson with He's Right on Time. Mahalia died in Chicago on January 27, 1972, of heart failure and diabetes complications. He's right on time. We're in the Afterglow. I'm Father John. This is your time, just for you, because together we unwind, relax, and get life back into balance. Not that any of us really need to relax. I mean, no stress in your life, right? No financial worries, no relationships gone awry, no significant challenges to your job, clear sailing. Well, then you're one in a million, so count your blessings. As for me, well, I've got my worries, I've got my challenges, fears, and stresses that bug me out every day, so I do appreciate the time that we have to unwind and relax every now and then, and to smile or laugh out loud. You need to laugh every day. It's healthy for you. So it's story time now. And this is about a controlling wife. Yes, a wife who managed to control her husband even after he had died. The man's last name was Brown. When he was born, his parents decided that since Brown was such a common last name, the child should be given an unusual first name. Consequently, they named him Fantastic. Although he had lived a good life and enjoyed a successful career, nevertheless, Fantastic Brown simply could not abide the constant joking evoked by his unusual name. All his life, he hated that name. On his deathbed, he said to his wife, "I have only one request. Don't put Fantastic on my tombstone. Please, just put the one word Brown on it. I don't want that name following me to my grave." Well, after he died, his wife was very upset because he had been such a good husband and she just could not let it be as he had willed. As a result, the inscription on the tombstone read, "Brown." During his long marriage, he never looked at another woman. And everybody who walked past that tombstone said, "That's fantastic." Something to smile about. And that was George Winston with music called Sea. As in Sally sells seashells down by the seashore, the sea. Where the afterglow is especially beautiful and brilliant. And for us, we're in the afterglow, a time of prayer and meditation with music, inspiration, and reflection. A time to relax, a time to listen. So thank you for joining me. I'm Father John, and we do this every weekday evening from 7 to 8 as we unwind, relax, collect our thoughts, and put life into perspective with a better picture of the world. Today's wisdom says, "Anything you did for even the least of my people, you also did for me. Tell me, what is the sign of your personal success? Your scholarship? Your popularity and ability to amass an audience? Your earning power? Your skillful pens and hope-filled volumes? No. The sign of your success is your love for the least. No fanfare, no hoopla, no media coverage, just good people doing good things. For when we do good things to others, we do good things to God. Now turn on the light. You'll see better. Father, your love never ceases, never. Though we spurn you, ignore you, disobey you, you will not change. Our evil cannot diminish your love. Our goodness cannot increase it. Our faith does not earn it any more than our stupidity jeopardizes it. You don't love us less if we fail. You don't love us more if we succeed. Your love never ceases.
Stop the clocks, it's amazing. You should see the way the light dances off your hair. A million colors of hazel, golden and red. Oh, I will hold on to the eye.
night prayer is coming up. But first, let's let God's Word talk back to us in today's Word.
Oh, I will hold on to the afterglow.
Today is Tuesday of the 30th week in Ordinary Time. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air sheltered in its branches. Jesus uses many different images to describe the kingdom of God, but this comparison with a mustard seed is perhaps the most powerful. A mustard seed is very small, yet once planted, watered, and nurtured, it grows into something much greater and gives benefit and joy to others. The kingdom of God is not only found in the grand gesture, but also in the daily grind, the living out of ordinary, everyday events. Whenever somebody cares for an elderly neighbor, there is the kingdom of heaven. When a mother gets up for her child in the middle of the night, there the kingdom of God is to be found. When a caregiver nurses a cantankerous old man day in and day out, God is manifested. Whenever we minister to somebody in love, we are making Christ present to that person. The ministry may well have far-reaching consequences that we never know about. Like a pebble dropped into a pool, our actions can produce ripples which go a long way. Perhaps our call to holiness is like that of St. Teresa of Lisieux. It lies in doing ordinary things with extraordinary love. Perhaps God is asking us to spend our lives just sowing seeds of faith around us, without ever knowing what becomes of them, but having the trust to leave the watering and the nurturing to Him. So what mustard seed will you plant for Him today? Give a little love.
I got myself an obsession. It's on another dimension. Don't need a whole lot of protection, 'cause it gave me all I've been getting. It gave me life, hope, dreams, goals. You know, whoa, you got to give a little love. Give a little love. Go on, just do it. You can't abuse it. Give a little love. Give a little love. Go on and do it. Go! Live in a world where there's plenty. So how come we're running on empty when we've been touched by so many, and still there's more without any?